Good evening and welcome everyone to this special Overview and Scrutiny Committee meeting to discuss the Council's policy stance on Heathrow expansion. This is both at the request of the Leader of the Council, as announced at the July meeting, and also in respect of the two motions raised at that Council meeting. Before we start this evening's proceedings, I need to run through some housekeeping matters. Emergency procedure. If the fire alarm sounds, please evacuate the building immediately by the nearest safe exit route and go directly to the fire assembly point, which is at the front of the council offices on the green. Do not use the lift. Mobile technology can interfere with the PA system and induction loop systems and distracts other people at the meeting. Please either switch off your mobile or put it on silent. This meeting is being recorded, as is standard practice, and will be available on the Council's public website. Please switch on your microphone when speaking and turn it off when you have finished. I would like to start by introducing our guests and officers who are here to assist us this evening. A warm welcome to Carlton Brown and Stephen Wilkinson of the Aurora Group on my far right, who will present an alternative proposal to that proposed by Heathrow Airport Limited for the Heathrow expansion. The officers who will be presenting and responding to questions this evening are seated on the left of the chamber. Please, will you each introduce yourselves?
My name is Heather Morgan. I'm Group Head for Regeneration and Growth and lead on the Heathrow expansion work.
Keith McGrory, I'm the Economic Development Manager.
Cathy Munro, I work in Neighbourhood Services. I'm based at the depot.
Livia Flint, Principal Pollution Control Officer.
Tracy Wilmerford, Senior Environmental Health Manager.
Tracy Reynolds, Community Development Manager.
Thank you very much. Also assisting the meeting tonight is Terry Collier, Deputy Chief Executive, and Chris Curtis, Committee Manager, on my right, and Principal Solicitor Victoria Statham and Jill Scott, Principal Committee Manager, on my left. We are joined by Daniel Moward, the Chief Executive, as an observer tonight, and he may also be called upon this evening. I will introduce councillors when they speak later this evening. Finally, we are also pleased to welcome representatives of residents' associations and other interested members of the public who are here to observe the proceedings. I return now to the reason for this extraordinary overview and scrutiny meeting. Before the Council at present is the final statutory consultation on the third runway and Heathrow Airport expansion, which includes £14 billion to build the third runway and £18.5 billion on the physical expansion. The purpose of the meeting is to review the Council's position on the expansion of the airport in the context of the proposals put before it and our suggested response to them. The committee is exercising its role of scrutinising and debating the matter before it goes to Cabinet for a decision. So far, Spelthorne has supported the principle of the third runway due to its positive economic impact for Spelthorne and employment for our residents, but always with the caveats that environmental and noise concerns need to be mitigated to our satisfaction, and that the wider property offer zone be extended into the borough to satisfactorily recompense our residents. This was last recorded in a motion at Council in December 2016, following the government's announcement of support for a third runway. Spelthorne detailed its concerns in a list of 10 demands on behalf of its residents in March 2018, and has worked tirelessly with HAL, that's Heathrow Airport Limited, and other stakeholders to seek mitigation of these concerns. This latest iteration from HAL is significantly different from previous proposals, with a far greater impact on this borough, which has given rise to concerns from the leadership and two motions at council, resulting in this extraordinary meeting. For the purposes of the public present, who may not be familiar with the way the council works, I will just explain the role of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee in the democratic process. One of the committee's roles is to assist the council and the cabinet on policy issues. It does this by reviewing policy and making any recommendations on proposals for change in advance of the decision being taken by cabinet. The Overview and Scrutiny Committee cannot make a decision on the council policy itself, but it can and does make recommendations for consideration by the cabinet. Although you will hear a number of councillors speaking this evening, it is only the members of the committee who are sitting on the dais in front of me and around the inner horseshoe who may debate the matter and formulate the committee's recommendation to cabinet. We are glad to have so many members of the public present tonight, and although you will not be invited to comment or ask questions, I hope that you will feel it has been worthwhile to observe the proceedings. I will now give you a brief overview of the proposed programme for this evening. One, we will not be considering the motions individually. Two, there is a wide range of material. We will start with presentations on the details and options to ensure that everyone, both councillors and residents, are fully informed on this latest proposal. The first presentation will be 50 minutes from officers on Spelthorne's Heathrow Expansion Working Group on the pros and cons of expansion and will be wholly factually driven. Officers have had to review 38 sets of documents which run to several thousand pages and use their considerable technical and professional expertise to reach their recommendations. There will be an opportunity for factual clarifications for members of the committee. This will be followed by a 10-minute presentation from Carlton Brown and Stephen Wilkinson of the Aurora Group on Heathrow West, the alternative proposal that has been put forward for a new terminal configuration for an expanded airport. This is to ensure that councillors are informed of possible alternatives at this meeting. Once again, I will give an opportunity for factual clarification for committee members. Three, in recognition of the significance of this matter, and before the ONS members begin their debate, I have extraordinarily invited all non-committee councillor members to attend with the equal opportunity under a separate agenda to speak along with committee members for a maximum of 3 minutes. Stanmore North councillors will be afforded 5 minutes. I do not intend to invite members of the public to address the meeting. The purpose of this item is for councillors across the borough to convey their views and those of their residents. We will then adjourn for 10 minutes for a comfort break before moving to the debate, at the culmination of which the committee will agree recommendations for the cabinet to consider. I will now ask Mrs. Victoria Statham, Principal Solicitor, to cover the procedural matters for this meeting.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Chairman has stated, the remit of this committee under the Council's Constitution, in particular Article 8, is to make a recommendation to Cabinet. It is then for the Cabinet to make the decision. I'd like to take the opportunity to remind members of the committee and those present that although members of the public are invited to attend this meeting, this is not a public participation meeting and therefore you're not entitled to speak or join in the discussions. At the discretion of the Chairman, ward councillors have been invited to speak on behalf of their residents for the allotted time. After they have spoken on the issue, it is only for members of the committee who are discussing the debate what the recommendation will be to Cabinet. It is for the committee to debate and decide on what that recommendation will be. This is not a motion in itself. The Council has referred two motions to this committee. These are going to be considered as part of the focused discussion to reach that recommendation. Thank you, Chairman.
The Thank you, Mrs. Statham. Before turning to the agenda, I would also like to explain that after our response and all the other consultation submissions are received, Heathrow Airport Limited will produce their development consent order proposal in about mid-2020. This will go to the Planning Inspectorate, who will in turn make their recommendation to the Secretary of State, who has the final decision. I will now deal with formal procedures for this meeting. One, apologies. To receive any apologies for non-attendance. Have we received any apologies from members of the committee?
No apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Do members have any apologies to give? No, thank you very much. Two, disclosures of interest. To receive any disclosures of interest from members. First, I will mention that in the Council's Constitution for Overview and Scrutiny Committee procedures, if a party whip has been applied, this must be declared. Has any party whip been applied? Councillor Smith Ainslie.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. The majority group, the Conservative group, has no whip has been applied.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right, are there any other further disclosures, please? I'd like to invite Mrs. Statham to make a further point.
Just to say that we have a number of people speaking at this meeting this evening under contract stand, council standing orders. If the meeting's proposed to last for more than 3 hours, it's recommended that they can suspend that standing order 5.1 to go on later than that. Would that be the wish of the committee?
Councillor Smith Ainslie.
Thank you, Chairman. I move suspension of standing orders until close of business.
Okay. Is that seconded, please? Councillor Sider?
Second that, Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Agreed.
Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. May I remind councillors that the gifts and hospitality register is available outside the meeting room if you need to make an entry. 3. Spelthorne Borough Council's policy stance on Heathrow expansion. Factual presentation on the pros and cons by Spelthorne officers from the Heathrow Expansion Working Group. I would firstly like to call upon the Spelthorne officers of the Heathrow Expansion Working Group to give a presentation of the pros and cons of the proposed Heathrow expansion. I would like to remind you all that this presentation is wholly factually driven. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Can everybody hear me, or do you want the microphone on? Apologies. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes,
so, yeah, my name is Heather Morgan, Group Head for Regeneration and Growth. So the team are going to deliver, so you will see a number of us come up, deliver our sort of part of the presentation, and then drop back down again. Chair of the committee has already said, our position on Heathrow over time has been clear. This first slide just sets out what our position was on Heathrow in 2016, which is mindful of the massive positive economic impact that a vibrant and viable Heathrow has on the economy of Spelthorne, and in particular the 3,600 families who rely directly upon it for their income. This council warmly welcomes the recent government announcement of the third runway. We are, of course, mindful of the environmental and noise concerns and will work with Heathrow and other stakeholders to ensure those are mitigated. I think what's very important for members of the committee and the public to be aware of is obviously at that particular point in time, we were just simply aware of the Northwest runway proposal and not all the detail around it in terms of the impact that it might have upon this borough. So that was our position at that point in time. Subsequent to that, there was a stage one non-statutory consultation that was undertaken by Heathrow between January and March 2018. That report was considered by Cabinet, and as part and parcel of that response, we set out 10 requirements at what we called consultation one stage. Hopefully members and the public will be familiar with those. They're up on the screen there. I think it's fair to say, in terms of those responses that have gone out to Heathrow, the only one that has got a green tick on it currently at the moment is that our demand was that there should be no immigration removal centre in the borough. That's currently proposed to be in Hounslow, but obviously until such time as we go through the development consent order, that is not actually set in stone. But in terms of all those other issues, they are in effect outstanding. So Heathrow have not moved on any of those, and I appreciate that the one at the top particular in terms of the wider property offer zone is an issue that's very close to the hearts of Stanwell Moor and Stanwell. I will now pass over to my colleague Keith, who will deal with the employment benefits.
Okay, I'm Keith McCrory, I'm the Economic Development Manager here at Spelthorne. My role today is to highlight some of the benefits that having an airport such as Heathrow on our doorstep gives not only to our borough, surrounding area, but also on a national basis. Whilst recognising that there are a lot of genuine and strong feelings and concerns about the introduction of the expansion of the Heathrow Airport, it's not my role to address those during my presentation, because you're going to have three more presenters who will focus on those particular issues. So Heathrow, it's the largest single employment site in the UK, with over 70,000 people working there. There are 114,000 people that are involved in the supply chain. The supply chain are those companies outside of Heathrow who are providing goods and services so Heathrow can operate. Current workforce at Heathrow, there are 3,500 of our residents who are actually employed at Heathrow, and that can grow at 7% of the working borough, and 25% of those in work within the Northern Ward around Stanwell. 22% of one in five of jobs are actually connected to the airport. The proposed third runway is likely to add nearly 27,000 jobs by 2035, and that will offer plenty of opportunities for particularly people living close to the airport to get careers and jobs. And I'll address that a little bit further as I go on. Cargo benefits. It's useful to actually to put into context our competition. Our nearest neighbours in Europe, they have generally between four and six runways. There's one on there that's Orly Airport, which has three runways in France, but that's complemented by the Charles de Gaulle Airport, which has four. So that gives two airports with seven runways. That allows them to compete for trade across the rest of the world, whereas here in the UK, with our limited runways and airport facilities, we are fighting for trade and for employment and for competing against the rest of the world to get that trade. 33% of all long-haul goods by value, our exports, actually go through Heathrow Airport. That's how important it is for the economy. Increasing the capacity gives opportunities to link new emerging global markets. If you look at, say, China in 2010 had 175 runways. By next year, they'll have 260. With the expansion of Heathrow Airport with the third runway, that will allow us to add 40 additional routes to the rest of the world, including places like China, with a population of 1.5 billion people. Also access to other countries throughout the world, including the Commonwealth. That will increase our global share of the market by future trade deals, as and when and if Brexit actually occurs. The current value of goods through Heathrow is £106 billion. That's exports and imports throughout the country. At the moment, Heathrow is operating at 98% capacity, which limits its ability to compete against other markets, and it also has a knock-on effect of increasing the ticket for passengers to actually to fly to destinations. Supply chain benefits. Number of company headquarters in close proximity to Heathrow. Out of the 300 top UK companies by value, just over 200 are situated within 25 miles of Heathrow. That is the draw and the attraction of Heathrow. Those headquarters provide for good quality jobs and also adds additional access to the supply chain for our businesses in the borough to get trade and increase their business share. The procurement opportunities at Heathrow, has got £32 billion spent, so there's a lot of opportunities that are taking place there. Some of you will be aware that once a year Heathrow run a Heathrow Business Summit whereby the suppliers meet the buyers. And in order for that to operate, what Heathrow do on behalf of Spelford and four of the other boroughs in close proximity to Heathrow is that they give a day's training in order to prepare businesses to compete for contracts on the Heathrow Business Summit day. So it gives us a competitive advantage to get more of the business from Heathrow than it does for other businesses that are located outside those five areas. Social value benefits, and in many quarters it's called corporate social responsibility. One of the things that Heathrow does is that they've created an independent grant-making charity. They currently fund £800,000 a year for communities here and in other areas around Heathrow to bid for community projects. Spelthorne bid last year successfully for just over £61,000 for projects within the borough. There's a proposal to support our younger people so that the work experience programme for 16 to 18 year olds can take place, which gives a great opportunity for the younger people to get some experience about the jobs that they're interested in and to actually give some consideration to the qualifications that they need to get in order to achieve those jobs that they're interested in. With regards to the apprenticeships, the apprenticeship and the apprenticeship levy allows for the recruitment of additional apprentices, which creates new jobs. But the apprenticeship levy is also used, and a lot of people aren't aware, to upskill existing staff in order that they can take qualifications to increase their skill set. That in turn allows them to progress and get better qualified jobs. At the moment, there are about 5,000 apprenticeships across Heathrow, and by 2030, that'll increase by another 5,000, giving a total of 10,000 in 2030. The apprenticeships will be spread across the boroughs. What they're trying to do is to provide access to those apprenticeship jobs to those within close proximity to the Heathrow. But at the moment, the apprenticeship breakdown, I've not got the details about how many will be new recruits as an apprentice in the job and how many in terms of existing staff who get additional training. Regeneration and growth. Well, Heathrow, just to give some context, that currently they pay around about £130 million to Hillingdon Council for their rates, which is a huge amount of money, and obviously Hillingdon Council can do a lot with that. The proposal from Heathrow at the moment is to build a southern parkway with around about 22,000 car parking spaces. One of the benefits of that would be is that it would generate a total of around about £2 million in business rates, of which the share for Spelthorne Council would be in the region of about £200,000. They're also proposing to build some other warehousing in the borough, and again, we will get a percentage of that share of the business rates. At the moment, the proposals don't identify any hotels or offices in the borough as part of the expansion, but we do know that when they build the, if they build the third runway, that the Bath Road area is going to be raised to the ground. So there's going to be a lot of offices and hotels which will no longer exist. They will be need to be replaced. So it's opportunities for Spelthorne and other areas to encourage those businesses which have been raised to the ground to set up either in our existing properties within the borough or to build new offices within Spelthorne where appropriate. It's a catalyst for regeneration, Staines-upon-Thames, especially with it's likely to attract people or businesses to build new hotels in the area, because having that third runway with the additional headquarters and so forth, there'll be more encouragement for businesses to take a risk and to build hotels in the area where currently they don't. So that will add to the financial benefit of the borough in its total. We've talked, you'll hear later on about the potential rail connection that's going to take place, Southern Rail Connection, and again that will add further value as a destination for people to set up businesses within the borough.
Okay, Keith has just mentioned about potential for the Southern Light Rail. I think one of the things that's a particular issue at this point in time is that despite the fact that the borough is so close to Heathrow, there is a paucity of public transport, and for those sort of people that have to work in terms of shifts early or late, my understanding is that it's very difficult, virtually impossible, to get to Heathrow by public transport. And that's a particular issue from our point of view, and it's something that we've been looking long and hard about how we can ensure that that's actually delivered. At the moment, Heathrow are saying that they can deliver their sea change that they need to in terms of public transport without requiring light or heavy rail options. So as a borough, we have been promoting the Southern Light Rail as a scheme, and that sets up some of the details there. I think what's important to understand is that it's value for money, it's privately funded, it's £400 million, which is about one third of the price of a heavy rail option. It can also be operational and delivered before the third runway. So there are a lot of very, very significant benefits to the borough in terms of connecting communities, being environmentally friendly, and also in terms of our ability to get our residents to and from work. And obviously for people that are at Heathrow, the opportunity for them to come out and spend some time in Staines-upon-Thames. In terms of Heathrow's current position, they haven't safeguarded Southern Light Rail or Heathrow Southern Rail or any particular option under their master plan. They put it down as a potential option. We have had discussions with them. We've put this scheme forward as part of what they call their Innovation Partners Programme. We are now in discussions with them as to how we move it forward. I think it's important to note that whilst progress has been made, and it's a significant step, is that we've got no agreement yet on alignment, whether it might exactly go, the technology that we might use. There's no exclusion of a heavy rail alternative at the current point in time, and there's been no discussions or agreement with regard to funding. So it's there in principle, it's something we're pushing for, but it's only on the start of its journey. I'm now going to turn, and the rest of the team are going to cover off some of the issues and challenges that there are with the expansion. One of the key things that the officers have established is, despite the fact that there are thousands of pages of documents, and a lot of it is very technical, there are areas where that information is deficient or is non-existent. And that's across the board in all areas, but I think one example that I would give is in terms of the transport modelling, is that's only been done at a very, very high level, looking at the strategic road network. It's not looking at the road network, and there's a paucity of information, which means that actually from Olivia's point of view, it's very difficult then to establish what the air quality impacts are. So our view is at the moment that Heathrow need to reconsult again before they submit their development consent order. So when the planning inspectorate look at development consent order, one of the first things that they would look at is, has Heathrow engaged and consulted properly and appropriately, and our view at the current point in time is no, they have not achieved that. In terms of lack of proper engagement with communities, Heathrow have held a number of events. Tracy Reynolds, who's our Community Development Manager, has been to a large number of those. Some of those have been attended by 8, 9, 10 people. The information is very technical, it's quite impenetrable, and it's actually difficult for residents and the public either to get to the meetings or to understand the information. So I think, again, there is still a concern that there hasn't been that proper engagement. And the final two areas are in terms of costs. So whilst the Development Consent Order is looking at the scheme in terms of its impact on communities, I think it's useful for the committee to be aware that the costs have escalated quite significantly to date, and we have not even got to the stage of putting the Development Consent Order process in. So the third runway and the associated works at the moment are coming in at $32.5 billion. $14 billion of that is actually for the Northwest Runway, and the remainder is the 18.5 is for the associated works, the vast majority of which is within our borough. And to date, they've spent $500 million so far on the getting the scheme ready for the Development Consent Order process, and that number has doubled from where they were 6 to 9 months ago. So we do have some concerns in terms of whether the expansion is going to be efficient, affordable, and whether it's going to be deliverable or not. Now, Heathrow have currently until the end of December to submit their business plan to the CAA, which is the Civil Aviation Authority. The CAA have got a current consultation out at the moment about their level of confidence about Heathrow's ability to do that. In terms of expansion development, hopefully everyone will be able to see this plan fairly clearly, but just to point out that the areas that are outlined and highlighted are those areas that Heathrow are saying need to be included as part of their expansion. So we've got reed beds, we've got open space, the relocation of the allotments, a new truck park. I think one of the key areas, and my colleague Olivia will touch on this in more detail later, is they've got a construction site, stroke green space, which is called CS11 in Stanwell Moor. Slightly deceptive in terms of the green space is going to be delivered decades out. And for the next few decades, it will be a construction site. And the other main area of concern that we have always expressed is with regards to the Southern Parkway, but just to point out that there are some existing and proposed cargo areas here. In terms of Greenbelt, if I just start off by saying the red line here are the areas that Heathrow are saying that they absolutely must have and are critical in order for them to be able to proceed with their expansion under the Development Consent Order. So all these areas shaded red or hatched in red, Heathrow is saying that they need in order to deliver expansion. So that includes 220 hectares of greenbelt within our borough. They will have to go through a process of saying that there are exceptional circumstances as to why that land should be taken out of greenbelt and developed for expansion. So to give you some idea, that is 25% of Stanwell North, and that's over 4% of the greenbelt in the borough that would be potentially taken by the Heathrow expansion. And within that 220 hectares, over 85 hectares will actually be built on. So some of the remainder won't be built on, but there will be reed beds, and my colleague will cover that, so it's not quite as green as it sounds. Southern Parkway, currently they're proposing 22,000 car parking spaces. It will be up to 9 storeys spread over multiple blocks, over 40 metres and potentially up to 60 metres in height. Currently at this end, there's the Oaks Road biodiversity site, which will be lost. That was a piece of land that Heathrow handed over to the community, or the community have access to it, and that was a commitment under Terminal 5 expansion. The other thing for members of the committee to be aware of is the vast majority of the remainder of this site is the CEMEX site, which is a minerals and waste site. They've currently got restoration proposals, which mean that when they finish doing extraction, recycling, etc., that would go back to open space. So what you need to bear in mind is that this is greenbelt at the moment, and it's either, although there are a significant area which is currently minerals and waste, that in the longer term should be going back to open space, but currently, as proposed, it will go to the car park. The other point really for members to be aware of, is that the Southern Parkway is only required because Heathrow are looking to put in a north terminal at the top nearby the northwest runway. And because they're doing that and the way that the runway is configured and the terminal, they are having to decant all the parking that is currently alongside the Bath Road to the north. And that means that they're having to basically reallocate it, and the vast majority of it is now coming down to the south. So if they didn't have that northern terminal, then there's an argument to say that they could increase the amount of parking at Bath Road and therefore negate the need for the Southern Parkway in this location. In terms of strategic road network, again, there are going to be a lot of changes to the M25, new tunnelling. Colin will cover it in more detail later, but effectively there is a significant shift of parking from north to south. With regards to the parkway, there's quite a technical term here where we're saying it's not hardwired into the strategic road network. So what we have always said consistently to Heathrow is you come off the M25 on a dedicated road, if you're going to have the parkway, which we're saying we don't need at the moment, you come in and there's an access road which comes in here into the parkway. As it's currently shown, you can access from the M25, you can potentially access from up here, you can access from the east. What that means is that you've got other options other than going around the M25. If the M25 is clogged up, hey, we're not going to use it, we're going to take other routes right through the rest of the borough. These roads are not at grade either. So obviously when they come off the motorway, they're going to be at a raised level and they're then going to be dropping down. So they will only be at grade or ground level by the time we get to this roundabout here. So again, there was going to be a significant visual impact for the community of Stanwell Moor in particular, and in terms of noise, and obviously it's a lot closer than it is at the moment.
So I'm Olivia Flynn, as I said, Principal Pollution Control Officer. I'm here to start taking you through some of the environmental impacts that we've identified. So, talking about surface water drainage, in particular this affects two areas of our borough, in the northwest of our borough at Hithermore, and also down towards the east at Mayfield Farm off Short Lane. So in total, these two areas equate to about 40 hectares of land take. Looking first at Hithermore, the visualisation is for green space, and in fact in the Stanwell Moor brochure it is counted as green space for the community. The reality is that it will be an engineered system. So there will be areas of concrete hard standing, the compounds and forebay where they take in the water. They will then proceed to engineered reed bed cells, and there will be some open grassland, but there will be no public access. It will be surrounded by a 2 metre high bund plus a security fence, and it will need to be netted to stop migration birds nesting. So moving over to Short Lane, running up here, this is the A30 at Ashford, and this is the existing treatment works at Mayfield Farm. Currently, there is a lagoon known as Spout Lane Lagoon at the western end of the current southern runway. This takes runoff from the hard standing at Heathrow, holds it, then pumps it north to the Bath Road, where it is put into the sewer and taken off to be treated at sewage treatment works. Obviously, this area becomes expansion, so that lagoon would need to move anyway. They are proposing to treat the water that goes there. To do the treatment, rather than just holding it and pumping it somewhere else, they require a lot bigger land size. So we end up with water treatment works, another set of reed beds, compounds, four bays, down here, just off the A30. They also need to extend Mayfield Farm, the existing wastewater treatment works. That will be outside our borough, but adjacent to our borough boundary. And there is a potential for an additional lagoon north of the oil terminal. We've been told at bilateral meetings that this may not be needed, but it's not confirmed in the consultation brochures, therefore we have to assume it will be taken. Looking at cargo and industrial land take,
As Heather mentioned, there will be a truck park for 55 vehicles off the Stanwell Moor roundabout in the north of our borough, partly in our borough, partly out of our borough. That's not a construction thing, that's operational phase. So that'll be the call forward area for HGVs on their way to Heathrow to wait to park and wait up. There's currently a petrol station on the southern perimeter road of the current CMAX site. They will be proposing to relocate that onto the Stanwell Moor Road. This causes issues in terms of concern about routing, and that currently the traffic with the HGVs would have to come down Stanwell Moor Road, visit the site, and then continue down all the way into Staines on the Billy roundabout to turn around to come back up to get to Heathrow again, causing a lot of unnecessary HGV movements and traffic through a busy area for traffic and air quality issues. As Heather mentioned, there are some proposals at three sites for expansion of cargo uses around the existing Donata premises. The one thing to note here is that there are proposals for multi-storey car park, multi-storey cargo, sorry. So that means multiple decks, ramps, the HGVs could go up ramps to get to multiple bays to unload and load, so it wouldn't just be what you might visualise a warehouse to normally look like. Moving to construction, there are supposed to be three construction sites in our borough or close by. So CS12 would be west of Junction 14 and is partly in our borough, partly out. CS11 is on Horton Road in Stanwell Moor, and CS10, which is where the Southern Parkway will be but will start life as a construction site. The construction activities, as well as the sort of normal things that you might expect of a construction compound, they will be the gateway to the main construction site. So the HGVs will come there to check in, to go through those sites onward onto the construction where the work and the earthworks are actually happening. They could also be construction worker parking and construction worker temporary accommodation. The current proposals are for the temporary accommodation to go north of the new runway and not in our borough, but that is not set in stone and could change. In terms of the scale of construction works, where the new taxiways, terminal and runway are proposed to go is largely historic landfill, and that makes it unsuitable to build straight onto, so they need to dig, treat, move and make good the ground. The scale of that is 25 million metres cubed material that needs to be moved and processed. To put that into some sort of context, I've got a couple of images here. So this is the M40 Stoke and Church cutting, so where you go past Junction 6 on the M40, you go over the top of that big hill and you drop down, you can see Didcot Power Station on the other side. The size of that cutting is 3 million metres cubed. So the amount of material that Heathrow need to move and process is 8 times the size of that void. And to give you some other sort of visual representations, your standard builder's 1 metre cubed bag and a lorry. So, construction of the earthworks and the new runway are north of our borough and outside of our borough, but construction will come into our borough. So there will be works to increase the size and capacity of Junction 14 of the M25. There will be river realignment, so the new rivers will come down, cut close to Stanwell Moor and down and through south of the Southern Parkway. Along that line, they also need to divert a set of utilities. So this will take place in close proximity to Stanwell Moor and to Stanwell. As the construction programme moves on to 2025, some of those works will be complete, but they will start on construction of the new A113, that's the airport way, and the roundabout itself. So the construction in close proximity to our communities will continue at this date. And obviously they will also be constructing the surface water drainage areas. Junction 14 of the M25 is due to take up to 40% of all construction traffic. We fast forward a bit now to the next phase of construction, phase three as they call it, 2026 to 2033. So, in theory, CS12 is no longer a construction site. CS11 still remains as a construction site, as does half of CS10. So the parkway will start to be developed out from 2026 onwards. So half of it at that point will start being under construction itself for the parkway, half of it will remain as a construction site to facilitate construction for the rest of the project. The Stanwell Moor community brochure shows the CS11 site as green space at 2026. There is no hard commitment to when CS11 and CS12 would cease to be a construction site. It is couched in terms of passenger throughput, so it is said to be as a construction site until 130 million passengers per annum. Obviously, if the passengers don't come as quick, the construction site will stay. The construction work will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and that includes the construction supporting sites like CS11, CS12 and CS10. So, excuse me. So there will be, this particularly during the first 5 years of earthworks, there will be no respite in those areas. Looking at air quality, as Heather has already alluded to, the transport assessments at this stage are very preliminary, very high level, and the amount of information contained within the consultation documents is brief. There is limited detail about the assumptions that have gone into the modelling, and there is limited information about the outputs. So this plan up here is actually in the Stanwell Moor brochure and is the only visual output for the traffic generated by expansion on local roads. What it does show us is that through Stanwell Moor Village, to access CS11, there will be over 1,000 vehicles per day, 365 days per year, including HGVs, to get to this construction site. They are not proposing currently any additional air quality monitoring in Stanwell Moor. The NO2 concentration predicted by the initial modelling is for a 9% increase in the national air quality limit value at 2035. Now that's a 9% increase, but they're saying it's under the objective and therefore that's acceptable. They get under the objective because of the technological improvements in vehicle emissions from other things. So other technology and other government policy should drive down the background levels and therefore give them additional headroom to allow for these increases. The final thing to say on air quality is that they are also looking at, or they also have to look at, nitrogen deposition. And there are proposed to be significant impacts on nitrogen deposition on our designated sites. So Stainsmoor, SSSI, Raysbury, SSSI, and our Southwest London water bodies. Currently, no mitigation of those impacts is offered. So currently, the main front door to Heathrow is off the M4 spur, coming down into the central terminal area through the tunnel. The proposals now are to shift the front door of the airport to junction 14 of the M25, and with it shifting traffic to come here to get to Heathrow, to come into the new terminal area, and to go further along the southern perimeter road up a new tunnel and into the central terminal area. There is a pledge by Heathrow for no more airport related traffic. There are two things to say, that even if they achieve no more traffic in total, the traffic that will be experienced by Spelthorn within our borough and on our borders will increase because of the changes to where the parking is and where people are signposted and directed to get access to the airport. The no more related traffic pledge does not include all what you might consider airport-related traffic, and only applies to traffic that will access the airport via terminals or car parks. It does not include any construction traffic, be it workers or HGVs. There has been limited testing of the transport modelling. There's been no sensitivity testing. There's been no testing of the assumptions of what happens if the M25 is clogged up as it regularly is. There is an assumption that the M25 can be improved to take more traffic and that there will actually be a lessening, lower flows of traffic northwards through our borough because everybody will use the M25. There hasn't been the testing to show what happens when that isn't the case. There's also no direct link between the cargo uses around Donata and the cargo terminal, whereby they currently have to put things back on a lorry, take it along the road, cross rivers, back along the road into the cargo terminal. We've been asking for a direct link. That is not provided for within this proposal. There will be a proposal for an ultra-low emission zone before the runway opens. So this will charge those accessing the terminals and the car parks based on the emissions of their car, and it will be aimed at passengers. So it's not a true low emission zone, it's an access charge, but emissions based. Once the third runway is open, there will be a full blown vehicle access charge. This will be in the order of about £20 per visit. The money from that does not sit in a ring-fenced pot, it will go into the big pot and can be used to offset the cost of expansion. We would say that that should be ring-fenced to provide more and better sustainable transport options for people to get to the airport. There is no commitment to the mode share targets for construction workers at all. The policy statement for the airport's national policy statement has commitments that Heathrow have to deliver on in terms of passengers and how they get to the airport and colleagues and how they get to the airport. The 14,000 construction workers at the construction peak, there is no target for them as to how many have to come by public transport or use their own cars. The modelling that there is in the consultation document suggests that at least 60% need to come by public transport in order to meet air quality targets.
The next two slides are about open space and river realignment, or green and blue, as Hal liked to put it. So what do we know? What we know is there'll be significant loss of open space for Stanmore Moor, and we know that the impact will majorly be on the Stanmore Moor Recreation Ground and Vineries allotment on Spout Lane. They also advocate a green loop, which tentatively connects pockets of green around the airport. What we don't know is about the relocation of the allotment site. The site that Hal have earmarked, currently they don't own, so they can't give us any more information on that. And they haven't clarified who will be responsible for any green areas that are in the borough that they're looking at reproviding. Also, the loss of biodiversity, they haven't said if at all, if they can reprovide any habitats, which as we know will be practically impossible. So, river realignment, there'll be four channels under the third runway, and that the open rivers will be netted, as Olivia said, due to bird strikes. But yet again, there are no guarantees that Stainsmore won't be affected by any realignments. And also, we don't know who will be responsible for any of those realignments or rivers in the borough. Yet again, they haven't actually made that clear. We have asked for this information quite a lot over a period of time, a lengthy period of time, but it hasn't been forthcoming. So either Hal don't know or they're keeping it to themselves.
Thank you. In terms of impacts on communities, obviously the two communities that are going to be most affected are Stanmore Moor and Stanwell. I'm sure it's well known that the council and those communities have been looking to get a wider property offer zone. That is shown in terms of Heathrow's proposals by the purple line, which is effectively the areas to the north. It excludes anything within our borough. So effectively, Heathrow have taken the view that the communities will not be newly impacted by expansion. We've made our views absolutely clear at every single level on that, that our view is that they will be newly impacted by the expansion. The impact of that is that individuals and communities, residents, will not be able to ask how to buy their properties and get a 25% value uplift. The only opportunity they've got is effectively an interim property hardship scheme, which is still very complex, has very tight criteria and will only give market value. So that is something that we set out in our 10 demands that hasn't been met. In terms of Community Compensation Fund, there is a possible £15 million a year available for the next 15 years to deal with mitigation rather than compensation. The money is largely going to be available during construction or after completion, so it's not upfront. So we have asked Hal to say, well, actually, if you're going to do this community compensation, that should be front and centre before the expansion is undertaken, so you show that you are committing to those communities to put back into those areas before you get on with expansion. The fund, although it says 50 million, that's not actually guaranteed. The processes by which individuals and organisations can ask for that funding hasn't been agreed, nor will it be allocated on the basis of proportionality for those areas that are most affected. So, you know, there's potentially other areas surrounding the airport that might get a greater share. There's no positive legacy for communities in terms of new and improved community facilities. Having looked at the plans, the only community facility that we get is the relocated allotments, which, as Cathy said, we don't really have any guarantees over. In terms of noise insulation scheme, I will pass over to Tracy, who will cover those issues.
Good evening. I think the first thing to turn around and say is a thing that's been going through the whole thing is we haven't been given sufficient information as yet. Thank you. This does have an impact on how we deliver stuff and how we interpret stuff because we don't know. So, for example, in terms of their noise insulation scheme, Heathrow have put forward a number of assumptions and lacking of information. So, for example, the Compton route, which we don't know where it's going to go yet. So we don't know over which properties it might be affected. So when it comes to installing the noise insulation scheme, prior to people, being affected, they're going to need to know so they can actually put in the insulation. We don't know if that's going to happen. Olivia has mentioned a number of things with regard to construction, the construction sites, the movement of vehicles and lorries. Heathrow are proposing a temporary home relocation scheme. Construction goes on for about 25 years. So in terms of that, what does it mean? They haven't really given us any information about that either. Internal noise mitigation for residents. It is just that. It is just for the residents internally. It doesn't take account of any leisure space or gardens. Nor does it take account of ventilation, which I'll talk about that a little bit more in the next slide. The other aspect is tenanted properties. For people who live in leased properties, you have to have a 3-year lease. So you may not be protected if you have short-term tenancy. One of the other areas we are very concerned about is the council have powers to control noise impacts from construction sites. Heathrow are proposing to remove a lot of those powers through the DSCO. So if we object to any of the nighttime 7-day week working, we actually have to go via a committee to actually put forward those objections. Thank you.
Noise is the second highest impact of the transport noises for health impacts. Who recommends, that's the World Health Organization, recommends that for nighttime noise, that you have a limit outside the bedroom of 40 decibels over the course of an 8-hour night. That's not what we're looking at here. We're actually looking at higher levels outside. So when you're looking at the contours and the installation of noise mitigation, you're looking at 60 dB day and a 54 decibel level on the outside for insulation. That's both a government recommendation and it was being matched by Heathrow. So when I talked about the ventilation earlier, so people will not, especially during the hot weather we've just had, open your windows, you're not going to achieve the right levels of noise within your bedrooms. You're going to end up being disturbed at night. On top of that, you're also looking at not just sleep disturbance, you're looking at indoor air quality. You know, when you look at the building regulations, you're actually looking at there is a air change requirement which would not be met by this. Early growth. Here we go. Back to the we don't know yet. Early growth are proposing the extra 25,000 flights per year prior to the building of the third runway. And that's going to be assisted by IPA. By IPA and by the Compton route, which or the new Compton route. Again, we don't know where they're going to be. We don't know whether properties are going to be needing to be insulated to protect residents from the noise of that and what the disturbance are. Night flight ban. The government are requiring a 6.5-hour night flight ban. The hours put forward by Heathrow, when you take into account runway time, so that's the time that planes touch down or take off and the taxiing in between, you're looking at what turns out to be a 5-hour, 55-minute respite period. The other aspect is HAL's assumptions in terms of how they can control noise levels is, on the first hand, to take away their dispensation. They can actually have the discretion, in some instances, in addition to what the government do, to allow flights to land, take off, and that sort of stuff. They're also making an awful lot of assumptions with regard to, you know, can they control the weather? Can they actually control strikes? And will the industry actually take up what they're suggesting? We don't have the confidence that that will be the case. And respite. Currently, the residents have a better level of respite. They are proposing to reduce that over a 4-day period, and you're going to have 2 long days and 2 short days of respite. One of the things they're actually saying is during that time, you're still going to be hearing noise from aircraft taking off, aircraft landing, and aircraft on the runway. So, and that's in addition to the ground noise from the airport. That's not respite, but they seem to, in this instance, be turning around and saying respite relates to overhead flight noise. The other aspect is, how are they actually also generating additional space? Well, they're doing that through increasing easterly operations. So that will allow less people, as required by government policy, to be overflown in total. And it will also allow less people to be newly overflown. But it will affect our residents.
Finally, I just thought I'd leave you with a couple of quotes from British BAA in terms of
positions over time. So they said back in 1999 that T5 will not lead to a third runway. The inspector, when he was dealing with the T5, said the third runway could have unacceptable environmental consequences, and he put a cap on the number of flights at £480,000 a year. That was back in 2001, and obviously you will note that that figure is going to go up considerably. And it was back in 2004 that HAL said that they would seek to lift the cap. And there was also a cap put on in terms of the parking spaces, which was for 42,000. So I thought it was just useful to you, for you to be aware of those comments that have been made historically over time. I've just got one clarification that somebody's very kindly pointed out to me. When I was talking about the percentage of the red line, it wasn't 4.3% of the green belt, it was actually 4.3% of the borough. So my apologies for that. But that's the end of our presentation. Thank you.